Your mom's really sponsoring?
Actually, it's your mom.
Oh, Mama Elijah. Oh,
she's a saint.
Yeah, Mrs. she's very Elijah? Generous.
Mrs. Heine?
It's Heine. And welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah. I am joined today by two delightful fellows who know oh so much about Apple. The handsome, the rustic Buster Tiny is here. Hey, Buster.
Hey, dude.
Let me wipe my microphone off here. We've got Alex Excelsior Heath extraordinaire. Hey, Alex.
Hola, senor.
Hola to you. Hola to you, Buster. Hola to all of our listeners. And welcome to the Cultcast. I want to give a quick shout out, as we do here sometimes on the Cultcast. And this one goes to Nick Abdo. Actually, technically, this goes to his son. He tweeted me and said, Arifon, my 4-year-old son is obsessed with your intro from Cultimac. And he makes me replay it nonstop. He also mimics you when you say, Buster Heine. I wish we had a recording of him saying that. And he sent me a very cool picture of him holding the iPad with all of our faces on it. That's pretty cool. Oh. And then there's Alex in the logo creeping up there in the top.
Polluting the minds of Americans and everywhere.
So, hello, Nico. Thanks for listening to the show. Man, he looks like he's got to be like 4 or 5. Nick, what are you doing to your son? You're polluting him with this podcast. But hey, get him started young. That's what I always say. Guys, let me bring my notes back up here. We were thinking it was going to be a slow news week, but we actually found all sorts of great stuff to talk about. And to begin, we're going to talk about that investor, Alex, that sold all of his stock and why that happened, because this is a pretty funny story. And then, of course, stick around. We're going to be talking about all of our expectations for the unconfirmed but pretty much set in stone Apple events that we've all been waiting for, especially all of you out there that have been waiting for new MacBook Pros, as I have been. And we're going to be telling you all of our expectations for that event happening later this month. But let's start with this investor who had a sudden moment of clarity and decided that after making, what was it, like $1 billion invested in Apple, decided that he didn't like Steve Jobs. So he sold all of his stock. Who wants to enlighten us, enrich our lives with this wonderful story? Buster?
Sure.
Do it.
The dude's name was Julian Robertson.
I'm looking for his picture too.
Yeah, he's a fairly old gentleman. Apparently, he read a book, one of the biographies about Steve Jobs, and after it, he concluded that Steve Jobs was pretty much a horrible person. and so he says that, I came to the conclusion that it was unlikely that a man as really awful as I think Steve Jobs was could possibly create a great company for the long term. I just don't believe bad guys do well in the long run. So he dumped all of his stock. And of course, he's made, you know, millions of dollars off of Apple and Steve Jobs doing great, you know, over the last 10 years. So very convenient.
This guy kind of looks like one of the original members of the two grumpy guys on the Muppets. I'm trying to decide which one he looks like. Especially the picture that we used on Cultimac, where he's scowling and his mouth is half agape.
Yeah.
But didn't he also go on to say in this interview that if Steve Jobs was still running the company, that he actually would still be an investor?
Let's see.
He said, there's no question that, and I think, if he were still alive, I'd still be in. So he's like a very specific, he has a very specific investing policy. He pulls out if the guy who built the company was not someone he liked and then also died. But if he's still alive, it looks like that's okay.
It makes no sense because he would invest in Apple if Steve Jobs were here, but he wouldn't invest in Apple because he thinks it's inherently an evil company because it was made by Steve Jobs. So, I don't know, man.
Maybe I don't think Steve Jobs was evil. I can understand why some people would think he was evil because he was very I don't think he was very concerned on what people thought of him. You know? He wasn't trying to make friends. And I think in the process of doing that, he ended up being more he ended up being mean to people, you know, and I think in the course of business that can probably happen, especially if you're trying to like really create an amazing company.
Yeah.
But very bizarre story. This guy went on the air after all this time. I mean, 2 years after Steve Jobs' death, he finally read the book.
Yep.
I think it just goes to show how fickle Wall Street is and how little you should place the value of Apple as a company and their stock price.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for sure. And a more upbeat story. I'm sure you guys saw this this book, Iconic.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually kind of one of the highlight stories of the week to me. This guy, and if you guys remember his name, while I'm
Jonathan
telling this,
Zuffi.
Thank you for just pulling that out. So Jonathan Zuffi decided that he wanted to collect every Apple device ever made, and then learn how to take really beautiful photography of it. And he created a book called Iconic. And I was looking through some parts of the book, and this is really amazing. It's just really beautiful photos of every. Is it every Apple product ever made? I couldn't.
Pretty much, yeah. I think there's a couple that he wasn't like really, really obscure, like alter designs that he wasn't able to get a hold of, but he did get a hold of a lot of even like prototypes of some of the early Macs that haven't really been seen before. And this guy runs Shrine of Apple, which. Mm-hmm. is a website that's been cataloging Apple products for years. So this book has been like 4 years in the making, and I'm really excited about it too because I'm in it.
What?
Yeah.
You have all your clothes on?
You obviously didn't read the post, Irfan, but...
I skipped that part. I saw your name and I was like, not interested.
Jonathan reached out to me like about a year ago and asked me to give him like a little blurb to include in it because he's got a bunch of quotes from Apple employees and Steve Jobs and me. And I'm just kidding. There's a lot of other a lot of other really smart people that are way smarter than me that have follow Apple that are in there as well. But he asked me to kind of give a little blurb about using a Mac for the first time, and that's in there, actually. It's on page 26.
Whoa!
I'm sandwiched in between two Steve Jobs quotes, I think. But
so wait a second. He reached out to you, but not to me.
Right.
Yeah. Mm.
So screw this guy. Let's just move on. So, I don't recommend anyone buy this piece of crap book.
So I had totally forgotten about it, and then it shows up in the mail like 2 days ago. The copy he sent me and with a little note,
got a copy of the book.
Yeah, I did. I've been looking.
Your mother must just be glowing. She's so proud.
Actually, I did send it to her as the first thing. I said, look, Mom, I made it.
Hey, you know what you should do, Alex? Is I honestly do think this book's really cool, even though I'm quite angry he didn't ask me to be in it. But this book looks amazing. And since we're giving it a free plug here on the show, you should ask him if we could give a couple away on the show.
Yeah, I should.
Listeners.
I'm sure he would. It's a great, it's like with the perfect like coffee table book. Like it's just, it's the photos are great, and it's a nice big book, you know, really thick paper.
Truly. And the photos in it, my goodness, he did a really great job.
And the quotes are, it's a good read as well. Like it's got a little like story to it. So.
Oh, does it really? Cool. I didn't realize it had a narrative. I thought it was just photos and.
No.
Gotcha.
So it's cool. Yeah.
Excellent. And I guess if you want to check it out, people, or buy a copy, you can go to iconicbook.com.
Yep.
And now there are two different prices, $75 and $300. Do you know the difference between the two?
Yeah, the other one is like a special edition that comes in this old, like retro looking case that makes it look like an old Mac.
Gotcha.
And it's got like a metal sheet, and then it's got
I'm looking at the picture right now.
Yeah, and it's got like a leather slip cover, and it's got a note from the author, and like a poster, I think, and some other stuff like that. So
gotcha.
That's for the diehard fans. But
yeah, well, I'm sure there's probably going to be a lot of really excited Apple fans who want a picture of a Mac Classic and all these other great old computers. Definitely reach out to him, Alex. Let's give a couple away on the show. Hey, let's talk about a hot rumor, and then let's move on to the October 22nd event. So I think we've mentioned this on the show before. There is a rumor that the iPhone 6 is going to have a larger screen. I know we've been talking about this forever, but I honestly do personally believe we are going to see a larger screen on the iPhone 6. Uh-huh. Do I have any other members of the faith here with me that will admit to believing the same?
Yeah, I'll jump in with you on that one.
Hallelujah!
No.
No?
Alex is, he's going to say no.
You're just trying to be the contrarian here.
They've been saying this for years.
No, okay.
What do you mean?
A couple years.
I mean, they boosted the screen with the 5. That got a bigger screen.
No, people have been saying 6 and 7 inches for years.
I don't think anyone's ever said 7 inches.
Come on. Let's be real.
I think in 7 inches. So I.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's not. Well, I don't think Apple's going to make a phablet, but I expect the screen to actually take up more of the device, so you have an edge-to-edge display, so that it still, you know, is small and feels good in your hand and all that crap.
Yeah, I would love to have a larger screen iPhone. So
if you say, "Oh, I don't need a bigger display or anything like that," or I don't know. I find the bigger displays on other phones to be pretty nice. You know,
me too. I would love to have one. Let's cover this rumor real fast. So it looks like analyst Peter Misek is the one reporting here that we're going to see a 4.8-inch display. What the heck did I just do? I just clicked on a link that took me somewhere else. There we go. I guess, though, as we were talking about before the show, Peter Misek not really having the best record. In fact,
I have a whole compilation of Peter Misek's worst rumors, man.
History of Horrible Apple Predictions. Is that the actual name of the post you did on Cult of Mac?
Yeah, History of Horrible Apple Predictions.
Yeah, it is. but I like the big giant derp next to his picture.
To his claims, he did get one iPhone rumor right one time. I think it was like the I think he called it, he predicted the name of the 4S, right, when everyone was calling it the 5. And he did say that it would have HSPA Plus and come to Sprint.
Wow.
So he did get that one right, but he has had a lot of bad rumors about like Apple TVs. The iPad 2 HD was what he was calling the iPad with Retina display back in the day. Mm-hmm. So he's not like the most solid analyst.
Not the most well-connected analyst out there.
Yeah, he said Apple's going to release the iPanel TV back in December of 2012. So, you know, he's gotten a lot of things wrong, too.
Watch in 1 year, all the things that he's been predicting are going to come out, just start coming out. He's just going to be like, yes, yes.
Him and Gene Munster, man, they're just going to throw a party.
They're going to have a big old party. So, but I think the reason I think there's any credence to this rumor is because if you guys will recall 2 or 3 episodes ago, it was before the 5S was officially unveiled. There was already a rumor, I think, from All Things D that had said from their sources that we were going to see a larger screened iPhone, and it was going to be between 4.5 inches and 5 inches. So for me,
I don't know about that actually.
You don't know about the rumor,
I don't think that was from All Things D, and I don't think it was that. I think there might have been something from the Wall Street Journal. There was something from the Wall Street Journal saying that Apple was testing that stuff, like prototyping it, which has been the same song for like since the original iPhone. But there's been no like chatter about it's actually like moving into production.
I don't know about that. Not from my recollection. They said it was definitely coming out on the iPhone 6. You could quote them.
All right, podcast boy.
I believe that was Malt Wasberg that said that. So we're going to have to do an internet search. You don't want to have change, Alex.
Why,
you want to stick with your
iPhone 4.
Okay, here's the deal. Yeah. I didn't believe it at first, but after hearing Apple talk about it, I totally believe in it. Apple judges the right screen size based on how it fits in one hand, right? That's what they say all the time. That's what Schiller and them have said. Mm-hmm. So when you start getting past the current size, I mean, my hands are pretty big. I can't imagine like somebody with smaller hands trying to hold like a 6-inch iPhone. Like
But it's not about what people can hold. It's about what they want.
But Alex, you're assuming that the 6-inch iPhone would be the same as like all the Samsung's, you know.
Well, how else would they? I mean, size is size. I mean, it's going to be.
Well, like here, I have a HTC One right here and a Galaxy S4.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of like bezel on the side, so you can go edge to edge on the display to make up for a smaller size. So I don't think you have to have a huge device, but also I can hold the HTC One in one hand and use it very well. I don't think that there's this limitation on it needs to be, you know, the iPhone's 3.5 inches wide, you know?
That was a really popular argument for a long time. And the reason I don't buy that is because the argument is basically, oh, well, people want to be able to text with one hand. They want to be able to reach the whole screen with one hand. And I believe that some people probably do. That's true. But there's probably other people who would prefer to have a screen that was larger, even if that meant they had to use two hands to send a text message or something. And I'm one of those people. And Alex, you say you have large hands. I'll have to take you at your word because I believe that I could hold a larger iPhone no problem. It wouldn't be an issue for me.
Alex does have a point. Like Samsung's Galaxy Note 3, they have a tiny screen mode so that you can actually use it with one hand, and
which
it's
is
just,
ridiculous.
It's comical. Yeah,
it is kind of silly.
Like wasting like 2/3 of the screen now. You know, it's all turned off. So I don't think Apple's going for like a 6-inch phone, but I think a 4.8 or whatever higher end. I don't know. Something that's like 4 to 5. I think that's doable, right?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the article you just sent me. Yeah. Samsung added tiny screen mode. I'm looking at this image, and you're right. This is absolutely ridiculous. So it's this guy holding a Samsung Galaxy phone, and the whole screen is like has been shrunk down. So it's all blue in like the top and like left-hand parts of the screen, and then like the actual OS is just occupying the bottom right of the screen. It just looks silly. It's like a clown. Like a clown designed this. Well, I'm sure if Apple does this, they're not going to implement it this way. In any case, I do hope we get a larger screen iPhone. I've said that a million times, and I will be the first to pre-order when we get that because I'm excited about it. Even if Alex wants to poo-poo it and tell us it's not going to happen. Let's move on. So, finally, I'm so excited to say that it looks like we have a confirmed date for a media event from Apple this month on October 22nd. This is being reported by All Things D, who... as you probably know, are fairly accurate, usually accurate on these things. It got the yip from one word blogger, Jim Dalrymple. He has the highest pay per word count in all the internet. He just puts one word out there. But he's right. He's always right. So, you know, what are you going to do? God bless that guy. So he's confirmed it. So I'm kind of taking it as a solid yes, unless Apple gets hit with a meteor or Tim Cook sleeps in. We are having an event that day. So let's talk about our expectations. I want to read you this quick bit from the article from All Things D when they talked about this. So the focal point of the gathering will be the latest updates to the company's iPad line, but the new Mac Pro and OS X Mavericks will likely get some stage time as well. That's from All Things D. So it looks like the focus is going to be the iPad. Here's my question to you, two sweet gentlemen. I think I said this on a previous episode. It seemed like when the iPad got updated, they were going to put in new hardware, of course. They're going to change the outside of the design, yes. But to warrant an entire media event that's kind of dedicated to the iPad, it kind of seems to me that they've got to be making some really major changes to warrant an event like this. And they can't just come out and say, you know, okay, we're going to have an A7. Okay, we're going to have the Retina display, which I imagine is not going to change all that much.
I don't get it. Like, that's exactly what's going to happen, man. I don't see
how you think that warrants a media event? I don't know.
Yes.
I just
what?
Of course. Yeah.
Irfan, you're literally the only Apple fan I've heard say this.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm happy they're having a media event. It just seems like they're going to have something more major than that. Like, there's got to be something we don't know.
Like what?
I don't know. What?
The iPad is Apple's like second biggest business now, man. It's bigger than Mac. So any iPad or iPhone change is huge news for the entire company. So they would have an iPad event for a processor change before they would ever have a Mac event for like a processor change or something like that, you know? So they
so you guys think that if they come out and they say A7 is going to be in here, which I think is kind of a given, right? We're going to see a new outer shell, as we have been seeing all over the internet. We pretty much all know what it looks like now.
A smaller device profile.
Smaller device profile. Thank you. What else?
Touch ID chip.
Now, okay, so
maybe
that's a maybe.
There hasn't really been anything substantial on that, but it just makes sense.
I think it's coming.
I think it's coming too.
It's like lightning. They're going to put it on every new device now, and it's like super cheap too.
Yeah, you think they're going to put it on all devices?
Why are there limitations for it, Alex? Like,
I'm not saying that they won't. I'm just saying that we don't. Like, there's not been any like concrete reports or anything about that, and they're having so many supply constraints with the 5S that it makes me think that. You know, maybe
you don't know if that's like Touch ID is the supply.
No, we don't know that, but I'm just saying that maybe they're going to wait a little bit just to make sure that they have all the parts they need. I don't know. There hasn't been like, there will.
It sounds like the iPad mini is already not going to come out right after the event. Or
if it is, it's going to be like super.
Yeah. I'm with you, Buster. I think they kind of have to put the Touch ID in the new iPad. It's a flagship product.
Well, actually, here's the thing. Maybe
you're going to leave me hanging?
No. I think it definitely comes to the iPad, but maybe it only comes to the larger iPad and not the iPad.
That's exactly what I'm
like
thinking.
That.
Yeah.
Just because it's not on the 5C, you know, but I think eventually, yes, every device Apple makes will have Touch ID on it.
Yeah, it's going to be like Retina display. It's just going to be on everything.
Exactly. And so then you also have an iPad mini with Retina display, A7 or A6 processor. And so that's a big upgrade too.
Well, let's talk about that. So we're expecting new iPad minis, of course. Do you guys think, or I should say, Alex, do you think, since Buster kind of already said what he thought, do you think that the iPad mini is going to have a Retina display?
I really think that it would be shocking for Apple to ship it without one.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just because like the new Nexus has one, and for the iPad's display to be so behind for another year, I just can't see happening. But what I do
think
will
happen. That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
What I do think will happen is that it will go Retina, but it's just going to be so hard to get a hold of that they should have basically announced it, you know, next, like in the winter, like in February, because it's going to be until then, it's going to be impossible to get one. Kind of like the Gold 5S now, like if you don't get it right when it comes out, like there's no chance you're going to get it before Christmas.
So you're probably going to just have to pre-order this thing online at midnight.
If they do pre-orders. I mean, they didn't do pre-orders for the 5S because the supply constraints were so tight. So, you know, there's always the chance that they won't.
And I'm thinking along the lines of what you said, Buster. Actually, I don't know if it was you or Alex. I don't think that the iPad mini is going to get the newest A7 processor, which will probably be 64-bit, by the way.
I don't either.
Because it doesn't make sense. It's a you know, a less expensive device. The iPad mini now has a previous, you know, version of the chip, and or I should say an older version of the chip. And you know, it's such an inexpensive device. I just can't imagine they're going to put all their premium tech in it and then sell it for $500.
Yeah.
Or, how much is it? $329?
I think the iPad mini is like the 5C for the iPad. It's going to always have like the processor from last year. So, I think that's a safe bet.
I'm with you there. Are either of you guys thinking about buying the iPad mini?
I have one now, but I really don't use my iPad that often.
You didn't really use your other iPad that much either, did you? You ended up selling it.
Yeah. So, I think once the iPad mini gets a Retina display, it's, you know, the perfect tablet. So I might have to, but I
can't. When you go 10 inches, you can't go back, man.
I've been 10 inches for
10 inches and went down.
Yeah, that's right. So, it just depends on your preference, my friend.
That's a personal problem.
I really wouldn't go back to the large iPad ever, just because I don't like carrying it around. I like this.
Well, that's my problem. Is I love my larger screened iPad, but it's. I know this sounds insane to say because it only weighs like 2 pounds. So really, this really is insane. But it really is not that portable. You put that thing in a case and then you put it in your backpack and you notice that it's there. And especially once you put the case on it, which – do you guys have your iPads in cases?
No.
You don't? Okay. I've dropped one before and had it break, so
I keep mine in one.
So yeah. There you go. You know, I have mine in a case. You do too. I think probably a lot of people do. And it does add a lot of weight. So for me, I'm like, oh man, the iPad mini would be such a perfect weight. And if they added Retina to it and they put a I guess they would put the A6X chip in it.
Yep.
Which is what is in the iPad 4 now. That would be an upgrade for me because I'm on the iPad 3. So it's still a pretty solid offering.
Oh, hey, this is a tip for Cultcast listeners and yourself, Irfan. You have like a third gen iPad or something that you want to sell, do it now. Like get your Gazelle quote now because they do not hold their value well at all. I tweeted about this.
You're talking about a third generation iPad, man.
I know, but like, I'm just saying that they're going to drop in price drastically.
No, that actually is a good tip. If you are thinking about, you know, upgrading and you know you're going to upgrade, it's and you don't want to sell it yourself and get retail price for it, you know, like on Craigslist or something. That's a good tip.
That's why you should use Gazelle too, because they have like a 30-day lock-in. So if you get your quote right now, you can wait until like November 9th or 10th to ship it. So you can even have your iPad until you get your new one and then ship it off.
There you have it.
And Gazelle should sponsor this show.
I was going to say, you know, Gazelle doesn't sponsor us, but I think I'm going to send them a bill.
For that plug. Send an invoice right for that.
We'll just see if they pay it.
Just tell them to give me a little more money than what I got for mine.
Yeah. I'd prefer a check, but you know, hey. So that covers the iPad mini.
Mavericks.
Okay, let's talk about Mavericks. What are your expectations there, Alex?
Oh, just that it'll be announced.
You mean formally unveiled? Here's everything it's going to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks. Yeah. It still is weird and disjointed, but here it is.
You mean like unfinished?
Yeah. Like the Game Center app is like a crime in Apple's modern UI design world. So, but
does it have that weird bubbles icon?
No, it's
from iOS 7.
It's the felt from iOS 6.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I mean, they literally, it's like they just gave up halfway through is what Mavericks feels like. Like they just were like, screw the other stuff.
Well, I think, I don't know, maybe they have resource constraints as well trying to build iOS.
I'm sure that's part of it. That's not maybe high on their list.
I mean, some other iOS 7 or iOS apps by Apple that need to get redesigned as well for iOS, so they don't have
Find My Friends.
Yeah,
launch that bad boy up. It's like taking a trip into the past. You'll have visions
or the Trailers app, which I use on a daily basis, and which I wish it was better.
Are you just having visions of Scott Forstall in your mind?
Yeah,
staring
every
at
time
you with
I open
those
it,
wide eyes.
Yeah. For real.
Any other expectations for Mavericks other than that it's going to be released? We've talked about Mavericks.
I think it'll come out like a week after, probably. Whatever that is, the 29th.
Okay. Let's talk about MacBook Pro. I have been waiting. I have money burning a hole in my pocket. And I've been trying to buy a new MacBook Pro for like 3 years, waiting for this thing to freaking update. And
what are your dream specs on this new MacBook Pro coming out?
I want it to have the neural net processor from the Terminator. I don't know. I just want it to be faster and have better battery life.
Well, it was like last time you were like, oh, it needs like the graphics chip card or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. So I need dedicated graphics, and I don't want to do MacBook Air for that exact reason, is I don't want to just have discrete graphics included on the motherboard. I want to have a chip dedicated to graphics in the machine. I guess the reason I haven't upgraded is because I've just been so close to when they were supposed to update the MacBook Pro that it didn't make sense. So I was waiting for them to release a new one. I think probably a lot of people are in the same boat. So I just want them to update whatever they're going to update, you know, improve the screen, you know, give me a faster processor, put some Haswell goodness in there so the battery life is better. I would prefer, I think, speed to some incredible battery life. I don't need to have 10-hour battery life. My you know, MacBook Pro is usually plugged in. And I'm moving from the MacBook Pro with a DVD drive in it. So I'm looking forward to a decrease in weight. And I think for me, that's pretty much it. I just want a new machine. And sometimes you get caught in these weird upgrade cycles when Apple's changing things and you think something's going to come out. So you've been waiting for a long time. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, they're not going to update this for another 3 months. And then you realize after that, they're not going to update it for another month. And it just keeps going and going. I'm like, just freaking, oh my gosh, just release the computer.
And I'm just do it.
Just do it already. And I'm going to spend some money. I mean, how? I just want to spend my money, Apple. Just let me spend my money. I have the money.
You can go there anytime you want and spend money. Buy a few of those Apple cases for the 5S and you'll be broke in no time.
Buy a few of the what?
Never mind.
The Apple cases?
Dude, I got a 5S, by the way.
I thought you had a 5S, no?
No, I just got one over the weekend.
How do you like it?
I like it. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's the same gold phone, one? But no, I didn't. I got, are you kidding me? I'm not going to pay $10,000. But no, I got the black space gray with the brown case, and I love that combination. I think it looks really good with the gray. The brown Apple case is really nice. I'm actually really impressed because they usually
classy.
They don't do accessories usually very well, but this one's, you can tell this was designed very well. And so, yeah, I'm not going to go silver, even though I thought I was just going to go in and swap it out for silver. I actually like the black with the brown. So
nice.
There you go. And but besides that, it's fine. Touch ID usually doesn't work. It works like 50% of the time for me. So
Had issues with it.
You know,
you have to like perfectly place your finger on it, or at least I do.
Yeah, your finger's got to be clean, and you know,
it has to be like you just like showered and dried yourself off, and like the phone is like perfectly clean.
Well, that would eliminate like, you know, 4 out of the 5 or 6 days of my week where I'm using it a lot.
Yeah.
Hey guys, let me go back to the MacBook Pro real fast because I actually wanted to ask you: have we heard anything new on this? I thought it was strange that in the rumor that we're going to be getting a media event on the 22nd, no mention of the MacBook Pro at all. I'm assuming it's coming.
No one cares.
You're tripping. You are tripping right now.
If they don't have an event over something, it's going to be like a MacBook Pro update. But I think it'll be coming because Haswell's already out. So it's out, right?
It's got to be out before Christmas. It has to be.
I think so, but I can't guarantee it.
If not, guess which dude is getting a Dell? Not me. I'm not going to do it.
You getting one for Alex?
I'm going to make Alex use a Dell.
A Dell, like the singer?
Yeah, because that makes a lot of sense. Cool. Hey, last thing on the roster for that event.
Mac Pro
also going to be debuting, looking real good, and surprisingly, jump in here if you guys have heard more than I have. We haven't really heard much since Phil Schiller went up on stage and did a bunch of fist pumps and leg kicks and told everyone that Apple still kicks ass, and then released that thing. We don't know a ton about it. Nope. Other than it looks like a really kind of sleek robot from Wall-E. And that's it. And we have no idea what the prices are going to be. So I thought it'd be fun if we could just kind of take a guess. Let's just take a guess how much this thing's going to cost, knowing that it's built for pros. Part? Huh?
Like baseline cost?
Baseline Mac Pro. Because people always ask me that. They're like, how much do you think it's going to cost? And it's a hard question, right? Because it's obviously got a ton of great tech in it. It has SSDs. But also, unlike the current Mac Pro, it doesn't have this huge, expensive aluminum case. So it looks like it might cost less to manufacture, but again, we're just guessing.
Dude, so, but it's got like a thermal core, man.
Yeah, I heard that thing was full of lava from the core of the earth. So keep that in mind when you're, you know, guesstimating your price. Buster, you want to take a venture first?
I'm going to say it's probably going to start out at 2,499.
I was like, there's no way it's going to be $2.49.
Yeah.
Alex?
I'm thinking about the same. Like around that price for sure.
You think it's going to be that inexpensive? Really?
That inexpensive?
Yeah. I mean, I think for a pro machine, that doesn't sound like very much at all.
It can't be under $2,000 because then, unless it's like $199, because all of the Macs
cheapest
are
Mac is iMac is or the most expensive baseline one is $1,999.
From a marketing perspective, it has to be the base price has to be higher than all the other Macs they sell. So
yep, that's true. So the baseline, the most expensive baseline iMac that they sell is not $199. No, I'm catching what you got, Buster.
Yeah,
$1,999. Okay, that's basically $2,000. I think $2,500 is a little slim.
Okay,
I'm gonna say $2,900.
Okay, I think that's possible too, man. But I think people will just like shit their pants at. Oh, I'm sorry.
You think people are going to shot their pants?
They're gonna have.
An unexpected bowel movement in their trousers.
Yes. Yeah. I think people would be pretty shocked by that price, but you have to remember that it's a pro machine. However, I find it weird that Apple's been like advertising for it at like movie theaters and stuff like that and hyping it up a little bit more. So
yeah, well, they're trying to get you prepared for that price tag.
Might want to try and make it more accessible, like a prosumer machine, you know.
It's hard to say because you're right. They might be kind of developing a prosumer strategy and going from something that was strictly professional to kind of more in the middle. It's hard to say, but it did look like a really nice machine. It's going to be really interesting to see what pros think of it after it's officially unveiled and the prices come out and everything. And maybe we'll have some video guys on to talk about what they think about the price and the specs and stuff, because I am really curious to hear. I think it's really interesting to have a computer that's so modular before, or to have a computer that's so modular. I can't really think of in the past any pro machines that were like that, where everything is kind of bought a la carte and it doesn't contain hard drives or anything. You just have to buy all these external accessories and plug them in and kind of have everything wired into this little cylinder. It's a very interesting vision.
Yeah,
so, we shall see. I think that's probably all we got for October 22nd events, unless anyone wants to add anything. Maybe a word of encouragement. Maybe you wrote a piece of haiku that you want to share.
I got nothing.
No? Alex?
I got to do the haiku next week.
Oh, okay. You guys heard it here. We're going to make sure we remember Alex's haiku for next week. So let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Hey, you know what? We would be delighted if you'd come say hello on Twitter. We just love when you guys do that. Buster's BST3R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. I'm at Airfon, E-R-F-O-N. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys, Alex, when will we see them?
Next time!
start a band together. Or Buster can be our band manager.
I'll just be your hype man. Just sitting in the background. You'll be our Questlove.
Yeah, I'll just throw dollar bills into the crowd for you guys.
Yo.
Is this 1-800 sexy beard played?
1-800 sexy beard played. That works. Yeah.
That's what I thought. I called the right number.
Yeah, yeah. We have a number of options. If you're into Asian beards, we got that. If you just like a little Mexi stash, that's an option.
Press
too.
Two.
Three is lumberjack beards. That's my specialty. Or for like the roundhouse, you just star 6-9 it.
For neck beards that connect to chest hair, press 4.
How's it going, man? Whoa, what's that?
That was 4.